Very good. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm chapter 31, we'll read the entire chapter, and then we'll pray, and then we'll focus on two verses out of this chapter, and look at some other verses as well. But Psalm chapter 31, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together tonight. Thank you, Father, for just the reading of your word. Father, we do thank you that your word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you that it is our defensive weapon. It's our offensive weapon. Our enemy, our adversary, the devil, does not like the word of God, though he can use it against us. Yet, Father, when we use it against him, he does not like it. And Jesus gives us the wonderful example of just using the word of God to defend ourselves against the lies of the devil, against the attacks of the devil, and the devil will eventually flee and leave us alone for a season. We thank you, Father, for that. Father, I ask that you would please guide us through the scriptures tonight. I pray that you would establish our thoughts. I pray, Father, that our hearts would be drawn to you. I pray that you would teach us the things that you want us to learn tonight. Remind us of the things that we need to remember. Help us, Lord, to anchor ourselves in the truth of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You think about David here in Psalm 31, just many things that he wrote about. He wrote about just trouble in his life. But many times he would write that God was his strength and God is the one that he trusted in. And tonight I want to talk about the fact that our life is in God's hands. And when you look at verse 14 and 15, that's exactly what David says. He says, But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. My times, he speaks of his life. He speaks of every season of his life, from a young boy until the day that the Lord took him home to be with him. He said his times was in God's hand. And that's a wonderful thought and a wonderful thing to meditate on for God's people, is just to remember that our life is in God's hands and God is completely in control of everything that happens. Everything that happened in David's life, God guided him through it and God brought him through the storms of life. God helped his faith to grow. God helped his heart to be strengthened and to stay true to him. Yes, he made mistakes, but he was still a man after God's own heart. He still chose to say, thou art my God. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my God. When you look at verse number 9 of that chapter says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Have you ever felt at some point in your life just overwhelmed with life? Where you felt sick, you felt like life, I mean, you had a physical, literal headache, a stomach ache because of life. You know, sometimes people, they get ulcers because they worry and they fret and they just, life takes the toll on the body. And David says in verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. And David speaks of his trouble. He speaks about the fact that just life, there's trouble in life. And the Bible tells us that, you know, we're born to trouble. And we don't even have to be told we're born to trouble because we experience the trouble in life. But obviously, as a child of God, we have someone that we can count on, someone we can look to, someone that we can anchor ourselves in, and someone that will give us the stability that we need and help us. And he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. David speaks of just being in trouble and how it literally was taking a physical toll on him. And we know the life of David. We know that David had many troubles in his life experiences. Just even the fact that he testifies of fighting a bear and a lion. And we see the account of him fighting against Goliath and God giving him that victory. And just even throughout his life, how he would just have trouble here and there. And Saul would chase after him because of jealousy. He'd have his own sons rise up against him. He would have friends betray him. Just things in life. But we can still be reminded, like David says, that my times are in thy hand. And no matter what happens in life, we know that our life is in good hands. God is watching over us. God's carrying us through this life. God is helping us, and we can continue to be faithful to the Lord and continue to be anchored in the truths of his word. Many times in Scripture, David would speak about God being his God and how God was his rock and his fortress and his high tower and his buckler and the horn of his salvation. He trusted in the Lord. And again, there's many things in life even now that people are worried about and stressed over. David had things in his life, the troubles. He speaks about the enemies. And we have enemies. It may not be a literal, a physical person that's against us, but again, just the troubles of life, the COVID, viruses, sicknesses, you know, the vaccine, and all the things that people are worried about, just life in general, and all the different political and economic and social woes that we experience in our country. But you know what? As God's people, we're the hope. People ought to see hope in us. And as David writes these words, it's, you know, never, I would say never be ashamed to let people know that, hey, I've got trouble. But you know what? I know someone who helps me through my troubles. Because when we look at Scripture, you know, many people will say, well, you know, at least I'm not Peter. You know, well, hindsight's always 20/20. And we look at what someone writes, you kind of look and you go, you know, how come they were struggling? How come they didn't trust in the Lord more? But as David writes Psalm 31 and he pours out his heart before the Lord and lets us know the troubles that he was in, yet throughout it he talks about the Lord. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. In verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. and our hope is in the Lord. And as David says in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Again, speaking about life and speaking about just the seasons of life. You know what? There are so many seasons of life, and in this auditorium, we have different stages of life. We have young people. We have little kids that are in their childhood stages of life, and they have stresses in their life. They have schoolwork that they're doing, different things like that. I mean, just, you know, some kids have stress and just peer pressure and social dilemmas and just friends that betray them and stuff. I mean, do you remember what it was like to be a kid in elementary school growing up and just how, you know, one day someone's your friend, the next day they're not. They're someone else's friend, just the ups and downs of life. But you think about even the young people, young adults having stresses in their life, learning how to live on their own, learning how to become parents, learning how to, you know, provide for themselves and not always running to their parents. And just as you get older and older, I mean, the stresses of life, they just don't stop, do they? One day they will. But aren't you glad that you have somebody who carries you through, someone who strengthens you, someone that calms you, someone that helps you, someone that gives you the stability that you need? When you think about the fact that life has troubles, and you think about just the fact of the personal times in your life where trials come about, and yet you look to the Lord and you say, I trust in the Lord, thou art my God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to say from your own lips, my God, thou art my God? Not just, you know, because God isn't just, you know, some idol, you know, sitting on a, you know, a square foot, you know, on a shelf somewhere. He's not just somewhere off in the distance somewhere on a shelf and, you know, when you need him, you have to go get him and pull him down and rub him to where you can make a wish. Aren't you glad that God is personal? That God is God and God is everywhere and God sees everything and knows everything and he speaks to you and walks with you and talks with you. You think about, again, just the fact that God is in control of our life. Sometimes we don't think like God's in control. Has your life ever been out of control at some point where it seemed like you had no control, things were just spinning out of control? And yet there are times where you feel like that you are in control. You feel like everything is just going hunky-dory and everything's just peachy and everything is just great. And then some days are not. It's life. But again, our life is in God's hands. And we serve a wonderful God, a God who knows us and sees everything in our life and knows the trials. He knows the good days, the bad days that we'll face. And like David says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Again, it may not be a physical person. It may not be someone who's persecuting you, but we do have an adversary. We have just, sometimes it's not even the devil. Sometimes it's just our emotions. Sometimes it's just life itself, the stresses of life, of paying bills and going to work and trying to provide for a family and trying to make the right decisions. But we know that our life is in God's hands and he has all the answers. And what a wonderful thing to even be reminded of the fact that even though life changes, God never does. Is anyone's life in here still the same? Is there a particular time in your life that you wish it was still back to that? You know, a little easy, not so, you know, stressful, not a whole lot going on. But aren't you glad that God never changes? Life is not stable, but God is. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. So, I mean, life is just full of changes. It's full of ups and downs. But we have a God who has our life all in his hands. And he gives us the stability, the encouragement, the strength that we need each and every day. And again, as David writes in Psalm 31, I mean, David, personally, I would not write out my life. I would not write out the struggles of life. I would just keep that to myself between me and my wife. But you know what? For our good, David had such a heart for the Lord that he was willing to write it down, and God knew that he was going to print it in a book. God knew he was going to have it for us to learn from. Again, David says in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." I want you to think about God's hands. Again, my times, your life, all the seasons of life, they're in God's hands. He's in control. He's guiding us. He's directing us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God is faithful in all his ways towards us. But David says, my times are in thy hand. You think about hands. There are some people that you wouldn't trust with anything. You know they're not faithful. You wouldn't trust them with your kids. You wouldn't trust them with their finances because you just know that they're not faithful. But when you think about the hands of God, you think about hands that work, hands that care. When you think about God's hands, what comes to your mind? Hands that love, hands that are compassionate, hands that are faithful to hold you up, to lift you up, to walk with you, to carry you. When you think about God's hands reveal how God takes care of his people. Does God take care of you? Has God been faithful to you? Do you know that your life is in God's hands? And not just the fact that God can take our breath away, he gives us the very breath, but your life, every aspect of your life. Your entire life is in good hands. How many of you know the Allstate commercial, the Allstate insurance, right? You're in good hands. Those aren't good hands because the rates go up and up and up, right? If they were good hands, the rates would go down, 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 right? But good hands, really, you're in good hands with God because he'll never drop you. He'll never fail you. He'll never let the trials of life be more than what you can handle with his strength. So when you think about the hands of God, we think about how much God takes special care of his people. And when you think about God, you have to think about his character. Again, how do you know that God is faithful? How do you know that God will take care of you? You've experienced the goodness of God. But how would you share that with somebody? How could you tell somebody else about the character of God? You think about the fact that God is all-powerful. Is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything that God cannot protect us from? Is there anything that God cannot provide for us? In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." The fact that God is all-powerful, when you think about God's hands and how he created, he stretched out the heaven and the earth, and he formed it all. And there is nothing too hard for our God. So when David says, "I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my God, my times are in thy hand," he knew that God's hands were stronger than David's hands. Now, David was a mighty man. David was a fighter. He was someone who did battle. He won in battles. I mean, he's the one that had that slingshot and threw that rock, slung that rock at Goliath, and God directed it right to the forehead of Goliath. I mean, he was, you could say, a man's man. And yet he knew that God's hands were more strong because God is all-powerful. And when you think about the character of God, you can't help but to think that God is everywhere. Where is God not? Where is God not at? Where can you go that God would not be there? God's everywhere. Remember Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord? Can you flee from the presence of the Lord? So think about that. When you think about you are in good hands, you're in the hands of the one that's everywhere. Not that he is everything. He's not the tree like some people worship. He's everywhere. I mean, his presence is everywhere. Even in Jeremiah 23, he says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? He's saying, am I close as well as far off? In verse 24 of the same chapter, can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God says, I feel heaven and earth. I'm not, again, like I said earlier, God is not, and we know that, but some people think that God is in a box and you take him off the shelf, take him out of the box when you need him. God's not in a box on a shelf somewhere, but God is everywhere. I mean, he fills heaven and earth. I mean, what a wonderful thought. Again, I mean, you and I know this, but, you know, sometimes there are those that think, you know, when they're in trouble, God's not there. Because if God was there, I wouldn't be in trouble. If God was there, I wouldn't have this trial in my life. But God is there. And obviously, God wants to show himself mighty in our lives through trials. David says, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. So you think about the fact that God is all powerful. We're in the most powerful hands in the entire universe. And those hands carry us everywhere. I love the fact that God is all knowing. David said in Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So when you just think about the one whose life your hands are in, your life being in the hands of God, the one who knows everything, his understanding is infinite. You think about just the attributes of God, the fact that he's all-powerful, he's everywhere, he's all-knowing. I love the fact that there's nowhere that we go that he's not there. Aren't you glad? Again, there are some people, you got to understand this, there are some people, girls, I want you to sit still. You're causing people to look at you, so sit still. Aren't you glad that God isn't just here in a church building? There are some that truly believe they have to go to a building in order to talk to God. Now, praise the Lord, as a body of believers, we get to collectively come into church in the presence of the Lord. I mean, that is what we do, but aren't you glad when you go outside these doors, God's still with you? Don't take that for granted. Don't take for granted that he's with you in the car, that he's with you at work, that he's with you when you're shopping, that everywhere you go, he's with you. I mean, I'll be honest, long time ago, I thought it was kind of weird to pray in the shower. That's kind of weird. But then you know what? God knows me. He knows us more than we do. He knows us inside and out. So, you know, I praise the Lord that we can go anywhere. There's not a place we cannot go that God will not be there with us. But when you think about the characteristics of God, because again, I trusted in thee, O Lord. Why would David trust in the Lord? Because David understands God's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. Everywhere David goes, he knows that God's there and God's going to watch over him. How does he know that? How do you know that God is everywhere with you? Again, when you think about the life of David, hiding out in the cave of Adullam, God was there protecting him. When he was on the run, going through the wilderness, when he was in the, everywhere he went, God was with him, protecting him from King Saul. That's how powerful, even though King Saul was a powerful king, yet he was not more powerful than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we think about the characteristics of God, you think about the fact that he never changes. Again, we looked at Malachi 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Think about James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God does not change based on circumstances. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever the circumstance, God is the same. He's faithful, he's powerful, he's all-knowing, and he has us in his hands. We change with circumstances. We react different based on the circumstance that we're in, based on the trial. We react differently. We don't react the same all the time. But God never changes. He's the same. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 17. I'm sorry, 27. Again, just when you think about God's character, because when you think about you're in the hands of God, it's wonderful. I mean, it could be just quick, yep, I'm in the hands of God. But when you think about who God is, you think about his character, you think about his attributes, the fact that he never changes. I'm glad he never changes. Will he ever stop loving you? Will he ever stop loving you? The answer is no. Will he ever stop caring about you? Will he decide, you know what, I'm not going to hold them today. My arms are getting tired. You ever held a child for a long time and you've got to, you know, switch arms? And finally you put them down if they're able to walk. If not, you put them in the crib because my arms are getting tired. God's arms never get tired. Aren't you glad his arms never get tired? He's never going to say, you know what, I'm tired of carrying this person. I'm going to put him down. When we think about God's character, the fact that he is in the world, yes, he's everywhere. I mean, he spans. I mean, he fills heaven and earth with his presence. But the fact that he's even in the world. Our holy God came down to this sin-cursed world and walked the dusty roads of this earth for you and me. That's a wonderful thought. And the fact that he's still with us. In Acts 17, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Aren't you glad that he's not too far from you? Aren't you glad you don't have to travel thousands of miles to get to a temple, to climb up the steps on your knees, beating your back, to try to please God? The fact that right where you sit, even waking up in the morning, you can start talking to him before you even get out of bed. Some of God's people need to remember that, and not necessarily people in this room, just people in the sound of my voice need to understand that God's there. God hasn't left them. If they're a child of God, he hasn't left them. God still has their life in his hands, and he's with them. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. Never get over the fact that God's with you. He's always there. And that's, again, it's a wonderful fact. I'm glad that he spans heaven and earth. I'm glad that his presence is everywhere, but I'm glad that he's with me. I'm glad that he'll never leave me. I'm glad that he carries me. I'm glad that he knows everything, and he is the most powerful force in my life. When we think again about the characteristics of God, as David says, in thy hands, he says, my times are in thy hand. The fact that God never changes, and God does not experience sudden emotional changes like we do. Again, you ever had a bad attitude because something didn't go your way? God never has a bad attitude because you know what? Everything goes his way. Aren't you glad everything goes his way? Can you think of anything that didn't go God's way? And someone who doesn't know God will say, well, what about the Garden of Eden? He made everything perfect, and didn't he know Adam and Eve was going to eat the fruit? Absolutely, he knew they were going to eat the fruit. He's all-knowing. But why didn't he keep them from eating it? Because he didn't create robots. He gave us a free will to either choose to love him, obey him, or choose to sin against him. And they chose to disobey like we've done many times in our life. But again, I'm glad that God does not change. His emotions do not change. Look at Numbers chapter 23, if you would. Numbers chapter 23. Again, people's emotions change, and it changes based on if they're having a good day or a bad day. If they got what they wanted, or if they didn't get what they want. I'm glad that God is stable, that he never changes. In Numbers chapter 23, if you look at verse number 19, the Bible says God is not a man. Aren't you glad that God's not a man? If he was a man, we'd be in trouble. Our sins would not be paid for because a man cannot die and pay for the sins of the whole world. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Again, backing up, aren't you glad that God can't lie? Has anyone ever promised you something, and when you tried to collect, you found out they lied and they weren't going to give it to you? Someone ever give you something and then take it back? Remember as kids, I don't know, when I was a kid, if someone gave me something, they took it back, we called them Indian givers. They gave us something, they took it back. We just, you know, aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? He doesn't give you something and take it back. Because you know what? We'd be in trouble if he gave us the gift of salvation and then decided to take it back. It's, eh. But he's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Aren't you glad that God always follows through on his promises? You're in good hands. Again, some trust in what a company says. But companies are always changing their policies. God never changes his. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His words endure to all generations. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I tell you what, God is good. Shall he not make it good? Again, you think about it, God does not change. He's not emotional. He doesn't act upon emotions. He acts upon his faithfulness and who he is. And I'm glad that he cannot and does not sin. Aren't you glad that you have a God who cannot sin? He cannot lie. He cannot do anything wrong. Again, you're in good hands. If we are trusting in a man, in a person, they will do us wrong. They will at some point fail us, but God never fails. God always does us right, so why not trust him more? Why not give him more of our life? Why not let him be completely in control of our life, because he'll never do us wrong. In fact, he'll do us more good than we can do our own self. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. You know what? When somebody reviles the Lord, he doesn't revile them back. He's very patient, very merciful. Many people have thrown their fists up at God and have said things, and God did not snuff the breath right out of them. God did not cause their heart to stop beating. He was merciful and gracious. Aren't you glad that God's merciful and gracious? God cannot and does not sin. Again, Peter said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I mean, just the godly characters of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he never changes, the fact that he is holy, he's always there, and that fact that, you know, Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The fact that we can't even fully understand God. Whether or not you know it, that's a blessing not to fully understand God. Some people, they want to know. Remember, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. The Lord was gracious. The Lord appeared when Thomas was with the group in that upper room. He addressed Thomas because he loved Thomas. Thomas was a child of God. And he was struggling. You know what? The Lord knows when his children struggle with their faith. And he's not afraid to help our faith. You know what? When Thomas saw the Lord and the Lord said, go ahead. Here's my side, thrust your fist in. That's what you said. Here's the print of nails in my hands. And Thomas didn't even budge, did he? The Bible records Thomas just said, my God and my Lord. I mean, that was it. But listen, when a lost person says, I will not believe unless God does something. God's already done it at Calvary. He doesn't have to prove anything. But you know what? He helps his children with their faith. Again, the father that had just a little bit of faith and said, I believe, but help my unbelief. The fact that we'll never fully understand God, but you know what? I know he's God. Somebody may ask me questions I cannot answer. What does God look like? What color is his hair? What color is his skin? He's not a man. He's a spirit. And the Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? God has no form. He's a spirit. And we can't even understand that. That he has all this power. But he's not you and me. Now obviously the Lord Jesus took upon him flesh. He used the body to be able to come on this earth and to do the things that he did. He needed a body to be able to sacrifice on the cross, but it was the sinless blood. You think about what John says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That Jesus speaking that to the Samaritan woman who said, well, you guys say we're to worship in Jerusalem. Our fathers say in the mountain. And Jesus says, God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you think about the characteristics of God, you know that you are in good hands because you are in the almighty hands of God who's all powerful, who's not a man who's weak. He's not a man that should lie and do us wrong, but as David says, and as we're encouraged tonight, but I trusted in thee. It's okay to have troubles. Because you know what? There are those that are falsely believing lies that, well, you know what? God's only blessing you if your wallet is full of money, if your bank account's full of money, if you've got good health, if you don't have a bad day, then God's blessing you. That's not true. God blesses us with his strength. God blesses us with his presence. God blesses us by carrying us every day. Again, David, a man after God's own heart, one of the few men who had such a close walk with God, had trouble in his life, but yet he could say, I trusted in thee. I felt this way, as he says in verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. I mean, I'm physically just being tormented. I'm physically exhausted. I am physically just sick of all the trouble in my life, but I trust in thee. Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. He trusted the Lord that he was his God. And aren't you glad that God is sovereign? Aren't you glad that God is sovereign, that he rules over everything? Take your Bibles, look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, this is going to end up being two parts. I can tell you that right now because it's almost 7:30. You know what? I'll just tell you this. You can't just zip through the character of God. Though we can't fully understand God, yet God gives us in his word things that we can hold on to, things that will help us to keep our faith, to hold on to the hope that our God is able to do anything for us and to help us every day of our life. In fact, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 reminds us that God rules over all times and seasons. Daniel answered, speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, he answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He changeth the times and the seasons. God is in control. God's in control of the seasons. In fact, the Bible tells us that all four seasons will continue until the end. God's the one that's fully in control. Now, I believe we are to take care of the planet that He's given us, but as far as global warming and all the things that, you know, they want you to believe in, there's coming a global warming. You read the book of Revelation, there will be a global warming in the end when God burns this earth up, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, uncorrupted earth. And we're looking forward to that, but God is sovereign because God's in control of all seasons. He rules over all nations. I mean, this is the God that holds us in His hands. This is the God that we always have to remember when trouble comes, when we have a bad day, when it just seems like life is out of control, when it seems like just there's no order, there's chaos. God's still in control. In Job chapter 12, verse 23, He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He reduces them. He enlarges and He reduces them. And God rules the times of our own life. Mine and your life, He rules over that because He is sovereign. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and 10 reminds us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. In verse 10, he says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. The travail. I mean, just the fact, I mean, travail, just trials are a part of life, but like David said, and these are words that should ring in our ears and sink down into our hearts, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. It says, my times are in thy hand. I trust in thee. And in verse 24, it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now tonight, you might be very strong in the Lord, but we know people that are not. We know people that are struggling, people that need to be encouraged in the Lord, people that need to be reminded, hey, your God's not a man that he's frail and weak and doesn't understand the times and doesn't understand what's going on in society. Our God rules. Our God is in the heavens. His throne is high above. His throne is in the heavens. And he fills heaven and earth with his presence. The most powerful hands ever. I mean, there's been some powerful men in the history of our world, but no one like our God. No one like the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power. And this reminds us tonight that, again, our life is in the greatest hands that they can be in, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's your God and my God. May we be able to say, may all God's people, not just those in this room tonight, but all of God's people, be able to say, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Because again, when we understand that my life is in God's hands, what do I have to worry about? What do I have to worry about? God's in full control. God sees everything. God knows everything. And God's guiding me. Aren't you glad the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? That he is involved in your life. And he's involved in my life as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you.